truthfully his Lord. Not only Lord, but Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost already. I feel the presence of God here. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel the real, genuine Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful presence, for the glory and blessings of your Son, Heavenly Father. May your precious, wonderful Spirit bathe our hearts in the glory and sunshine of your being. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to be here tonight under the tent. And I don't know what it is, but there's something about being under the tent. It's always such a wonderful blessing. So many years God led his people by his Spirit. He led them and he dwelt in a tent. And he led them by pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. You can be seated. Now then, I count it a real privilege to be here tonight. We love the Lord and we enjoy preaching under the tent. And it's such a wonderful privilege to be here tonight, see you people. And being the first night of the tent meeting, I want you to pray with us and believe with us that God will stir the people, that they'll come out, and that they'll listen to the Word of God. Being here is more than just coming out to preach. I know that, you know, people, they come out to the tent, or they come out to the church to hear the gospel and to get together to where we can worship the Lord, have a good time in the Lord. But a number of years ago, I got acquainted with the Lord. And I learned about the revelation of Jesus Christ. I've been serving the Lord for quite a long time, a number of years, fasting and praying, talking to the Lord, preaching. But as I've said so many times, I didn't know there was a way just to follow the Spirit of God. And as Paul said, just to go wherever he said go and do whatever he said do. And as the prophets of old, that you could actually be led by the Spirit. The Bible teaches that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I didn't know there was such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I knew the Word of God was there, and I loved it, I preached it. But I didn't know there was such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. One day the Lord took me away with him and he gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. And since that time, it has been a wonderful experience, a glorious experience. Now, I wasn't planning to preach tonight. Brother David Paul wanted me to preach tomorrow night. So I come down tonight because I thought I was going to slip into the back and I was going to sit and listen to him preach. But when I found out that he wasn't here and the way they arranged it, it wasn't much left. And so I come on up, and just about the time I come up, David come. I kind of sat in the car waiting, thinking maybe he'd come on up and to preach. But when I thought he wasn't going to get here, I didn't want to interfere with the service. So I come on around, and I have a lot of things to say to you tonight. Years ago when I first started preaching, I just couldn't find enough to say. There's just so much time on my hand. And then after I preached a while, I just couldn't find enough time, so much to say. And it's easy for me to preach all night long till the daylight comes and still be going. No problem. Like Paul, when he preached all night long, it's no problem for me. And it's easy for me to pray all night long and still be there when the daylight comes and be enjoying it in the biggest kind of way. It's just easy for me to love the Lord and to worship the Lord. Somebody say, I love the Lord. Got a little congregation here tonight, but discernment's real good. There's a sister sitting here, and she's very skeptical in her spirit as to see what I am and who I am. And, you know, when you come out to a service like this, it's fine because you scrutinize the preacher, and he scrutinizes you, and I have to get acquainted. Everybody has to get acquainted. But this sister, she is a little distasteful to her. It's not exactly what she wanted, and that's bad. But nevertheless, it is God, because he does know the thoughts of your heart. That might help you some to at least know he's here. And that struck her hard because she acknowledged it immediately in her spirit. All right, so he is here. He does know your heart. I was like counseling with a man yesterday. We was counseling with him. He came down from Mississippi. And he had traveled a long ways. He'd been out to California and all around. He'd been seeking help. He wanted help, and he was looking for help. And he said that he had not been able to find it, even in the ministry. So he wanted God to speak to him, and he said, kept telling me that he'd like for God to speak to him. He said, I've been fasting, and I've been praying, and said, I thought surely that God would have spoken to you about me. And I said, well, that's beside the point right now. I said, I need to talk with you a little bit. Whereas God had spoken to me about him. But nevertheless, we went on talking a little bit. And he said, well, I want to know, if God spoke to you, what did he tell you? He was really trying to find out if God did speak to me, if God could speak to me, or if I could hear from God. I said, well, we'll just go on talking a little bit. And I said, as a matter of fact, I said, when you tell me those things that you're hiding, I said, then we'll go on with the conversation. He said, hiding? I said, yes, the things that you're hiding. He said, hiding what? So I told him what it was, and then he knew that God spoke to me. He broke down, and we went on with the conversation. He was pretty well tore up. You know, people seek a proof in your life. They're looking for a proof, and that's fine. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And we should prove all things. We should try to find out about those that labor among us. But at the same time, we should come in faith and confidence. You know, in the world, the way the world works is you're judged and condemned before you have a chance. That is, they'll just take you into court and then you got to prove your innocency. But with God, it isn't that way. It's just the reverse. He lets you have an innocency in his sight until you're proven guilty. All right, so we're glad to be here tonight. It's a real privilege to be here. It's a thrill for me to be here under the tent. I'm excited. I'm always excited when we go under the tent. I preached many times under tents like this. This is just a good-sized tent for revival. And we preached many times under a tent like this. And we preached under some tents a lot smaller than this, little army tents that we really had a good time in. And we preached in some big tents. It holds a lot of folks. But the thing is, we're here to worship the Lord. God took Philip away from a citywide revival and brought him down to one unit that he might testify to him. And I look around here in Irondale. We used to be on the radio here quite a bit. I look around in this place and I think of the great meaning of this tent being here. They said that they couldn't set a tent here in this area in what they call, I believe, the city limits, is it? But nevertheless, the Lord made way for this tent to be set here. And some of the officials, I understand, was upset over it. But nevertheless, the proper officials had already given permission for it to set here. And here it is, in spite of the fact that they said it couldn't be done. I remember when we set our tent over in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and they told us we couldn't do that. They said there's not been a tent set here in this place for many, many years. Said a man by the name of William Branham said he set a tent down by the Ohio River. A storm got it, I believe. And that was many, many years back. And they said there's never been another one set in this city. And said, you can't set a tent in this city. I said, well, the Lord sent me here, said, set a tent. I said, so we'll be setting a tent in this city. The police said, you can't do it. I said, well, we'll just see what comes about. So I set one in the city. And when the mayor tried to stop it and the others tried to stop it, so many people turned out. And the TVs began to carry it, and the newspapers began to carry it. And over the daily report as to the news over the televisions, it was saying over and over that the mayor says no tent or revival in Jeffersonville, but the revival goes on. And it wasn't long before the mayor sent us out a little writing that had special permission and said, welcome to our city. Enjoy yourself. So then God does what he wants to when he gets ready. We're thankful that we're having opportunity to be here and talk to you a little. And we'll try not to hold you long, but try to talk to you a little bit about the wonderful things of God. We, as Brother Ron said, have just come back from a world tour and fixing to go. We've just been into communist China and we're fixing to go into Australia, into New Zealand, and fixing to go into Russia. We just come back from the Philippines where the Lord blessed us to where we could preach to about 7,000 people there at one time. And we've got a crusade that's coming up in that place. And we just went into Africa, a place that I'd been wanting to get into for a long, long time. And we've got a crusade coming up there. So during the time that we're not in those places or going somewhere, we had a chance to come and preach here under the tent. There's a number of places that they're asking us to come. Over in Memphis, Tennessee, we're supposed to be over there in a little bit, and then over in Sufferswell, Kentucky, under a tent in Sufferswell, there with Brother Parnell. So during this time that we have here, as to 3 or 4 days, Brother David Paul has given us the privilege to come and preach, for which I'm very grateful. Thought I'd read just a little bit from the book of Genesis. If you've got your Bible, you can read with us. You know, we come out to, for numbers of reasons, we come out to shout, dance, and holler. And sometimes we come out to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I like to see people shout and praise the God and praise the God of heaven and scream and holler, run, whatever. As a matter of fact, where we just come from overseas, they was doing plenty of praising God and hollering and screaming, thousands of people. But it was real genuine. It wasn't a lot of emotion where people, you know, they come and shout over the evangelist because they like his looks or they like what he said. Or they come and holler and run like a bunch of wild Indians because everybody else is doing it. It wasn't that at all. It was the mighty moving of God and the mighty anointing of God where people felt the anointing And they were screaming and hollering and some falling down on the floor and some back in the grandstand just falling around everywhere. And people trying to work with them and others just standing with their hands lifted up. Crying just broke all to pieces. I looked and my wife was crying with her hands lifted up, and I saw my daughter with her hands lifted up, all broken up, and other people just all around because it was just a little bit of heaven. So we come to church for many reasons. It would be good if the American people would get a little more in the spirit and begin to move a little more in the spirit. Now you might say, well, you don't have any right to say that. Yes, I preach to them all the time. I preach to them from California to Florida, and from I preach to the people from Canada to Mexico. So I have a lot of right to say that. I know all about them. I preach to them. I preach to hundreds and hundreds of them, so I know all about that. It would be good if they could get a little more in the spirit and get a little more out of the emotion that they have a lot of times not getting in the spirit. I find that a lot of people are not really interested in going to heaven. They'd rather go to church. And they're not really planning to go to heaven, and they're not making any plans to go to heaven as to conformity, as to the Word of God or getting into the Word of God. They don't have any plans like that. Like that sister I spoke of tonight, she doesn't really have any plans as to going to heaven. She's just hoping that she'll go to heaven, but she'd rather come to church. Just come to church to get into the emotion and to get in with the evangelist. But tonight, she was a little bit disappointed. But you know, somebody say, I love Jesus. We're talking about going to heaven, and we're talking about coming to the tent or coming to church to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be filled with the truth, that we might not go into the lake of fire. There is a lake of fire, and they that sin go into the lake of fire. So we're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and we're trying to learn something about God so that we can go into the wonderful city with the gates of pearls and streets of gold. Because if we don't learn something about God, and if we don't conform to God's way, and if we don't get out of this rut of religious attire that the world is in, then we're not going to heaven. We're not going to heaven. We're just going to church, and we're going to have a frolic, and we're going back home, and that's all there's going to be to it. But when we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we begin to like the reproof of God, and we begin to like the correction of God, and we begin to change our way of living and do the things that please God, then we're really getting somewhere, and we can be a Christian, and we can go to heaven. And this is what God wants. All right, sister, you're going to act real disinterested to try to discourage a preacher, but you're going to find out we're going to preach anyway. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, and let's read a little bit from the book of Genesis. This really cut across her grain, and she don't like it at all. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so.
And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. That's reading a little more than a chapter there. That's quite a bit of reading. It says here, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the third verse of the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, that's one thing that I was referring to a few minutes ago. As to light, one of the things that's missing in the church world today, of course, is light. Though there's a lot of preaching that's going on around the world, and a lot of good's being done. A lot of people are being won to God. People are being healed, and great wonders and signs is taking place. And there is gifts that are working among the people. But still, with all of this, there is a shortage of light. Like we had not too long ago, we had a little problem. They started talking about a shortage of energy, that we had to be conservative concerning energy. And it has gotten to the place as of now to where It looks like that the people are going to have to be a little conservative concerning the energy of God, because God's energy is beginning to lift from the earth. The reason for this is because that there are so many people that are not virtuous in the earth, and more people are becoming non-virtuous in the earth. And with this, it is pressing the Spirit of God out more and more. It takes a certain kind of atmosphere for God to work. It takes a certain kind of atmosphere for God to continue in the earth. And the devil realizes that the more that this atmosphere of virtue is in the earth, the more that God is going to have control. So that he's pressing it out. In every individual, he's pressing this virtue out of their life. He is bringing forth what the Bible refers to in the latter times as a sinful generation and an adulterous generation. And so then all over the world, it's not just here in Alabama, it's not just over in the state of Georgia, or over in California, it's not just here in America, but it's everywhere you go. Overseas, in every country, it is an adulterous generation. We just come back out of communist China, and I found out that they are about to just go native in China. They're talking about just taking the brakes off, forgetting about marriage vows and whatever, so as to a person can just get out and practice sin any way they want to, and let them have what they termed as free sex, if you'll pardon the expression. That's the way they gave it. So then it has gotten to the place to where virtue is being pushed out. And the virtue that one time was in the earth is beginning to be taken away. And it is getting to where the devil has such a tremendous hold until God can hardly squeeze in anymore. So there is a shortage of energy. Not that there is a shortage of God. There is no shortage of God as to the source of the energy, but there is a shortage of energy to the extent that the atmosphere is not right for God to move in it. It was in the Old Testament that when God got ready to move, that he would call for a minstrel or get somebody to play a tambourine, that they might create an atmosphere to where the prophets could prophesy. That way they didn't prophesy in their own spirit. The Bible speaks of prophesying in Baal. If a prophet prophesies something and it is presumptuous, the Bible said that prophet shall die. And so then God, he would create an atmosphere so that when he spoke, when he began to inspire the preacher or inspire the prophet, something would begin to break forth and it would be very God speaking from the lips of humanity. In the day that we're living in, we've got all kind of prophecy. I hear it all the time. I hear people prophesy. I hear people saying all kind of things. And as I judge it to try to find out what kind of spirit it is, I find out it's not God at all. I find out it's prophecy in Baal as in the flesh, and it's prophecy concerning presumption, and it's not the moving of the Spirit at all. The Bible said if a prophet does prophesy something and that prophecy comes to pass, then fear that prophet. It didn't say fear the God of that prophet. It said fear that prophet, because that prophet has the power to remit your sins or to retain your sins. As a matter of fact, the Bible said concerning the prophets, said, I've set you over the nations, not over a local church, not over a state, but said, I have set you over the nations to pluck up and to plant. And the ministry has the power to remit your sins, or the ministry has the power to retain your sins. And so then if a real true man of God happens to come your way or my way, if it's a real genuine man of God, then he has the power to bless us or to curse us. So we need to have the right kind of atmosphere. When a person comes into our presence, the Bible said, be careful how that you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And it is a true fact that if two or three people gather together in the name of the Lord, the Bible teaches that the angels of God encamp round about them. So you do entertain angels, perhaps unaware. And sometimes the individual comes, might be a man sent from God. The Bible said in John was a man sent from God. So then I've learned to do one thing, and that is to praise the Lord, to worship God, to keep an atmosphere of righteousness so that there be no shortage of the light. If there be a shortage of energy, then that means there's going to be a shortage of light. But if there's no shortage of energy, there won't be a shortage of light. The Bible says here in the book of Genesis that when God first created the world, there wasn't any light. But He came forth and He said, "Let there be light." And the Bible says there was light, and the light shined out of darkness. Now, the Bible said concerning this, Paul said, "And this light," referring back to the light, "that out of your heart this light hath come." There is a light that has come out of your heart. There is a light that has shined forth out of the heart of men, of those that have called on the name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible speaks of overcoming, and He said, "He that overcometh, I will give him the bright and the morning star," or "I will bring the day star from on high." For the Bible said, "And within your heart there shall come forth the great day star, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall spring forth within your heart and bring forth the light of God's great love." So then we say, "God, let there be light." And there was light. When a minister goes into a place, he is saying, "Let there be light." And of course, there comes forth light. When you say, "Let there be light," then the light comes forth. If he's a man of God, he can turn on the lights, as we say. Or he can bring forth the light. But you know, there's some people that are in darkness that will never have light. There are people that will never see the light. For the Bible speaks of the wicked, and the Bible said Satan has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they won't be able to see when the light comes. They won't be able to see when the good comes. Satan has so blinded their eyes that though great light could come into their presence, but they'd never be able to see it. They'd never be able to know anything about it because they are blinded in that Satan, Lucifer, is the god of this world, and these people love the things that be of the flesh. They love the things that be of the flesh. Though you preach to them, though you sing to them, though you tell them about this great wonderful light, their minds are preoccupied all the time to the extent that the devil takes them right out into the darkness and they're completely lost or cut off. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. The devil was working on one just a few minutes ago. That's why I said what I did. See, if the people of Alabama had even the least idea, of why this tent is here, or why the revelation of Christ hath caused God to put this tent in this place, there'd be so many people within a mile of this place. You couldn't get within a mile of this place. Oh, somebody says, "You're crazy, preacher. You're exaggerating." I'm not exaggerating at all. They couldn't get within a mile of this place. There'd be so many cars and people that they couldn't get within a mile of it. Praise God. Now you wanted something to find fault about, and you wanted something to criticize, and you wanted to find fault with what I was saying. Now you really got something to talk about, because I repeat that they couldn't get within a mile of the tent. Somebody say hallelujah. The tent setting here may seem insignificant. Many times a tent has come into a place, or a preacher has come into a place, sometimes not even a tent. I know the case where God sent a preacher into a place in South Georgia. He didn't have a tent. He just walked down there and walked up on a porch and began to preach the gospel. And people began to mock him and they drove him out. And God got so upset about it that he sent a tornado and tore up the whole place and didn't leave any place there, as far as I understand, that wasn't tore up except where the preacher stood. So that they know that God was with the preacher. So then God, He sends somebody into your midst. He sends somebody to your house. He sends a tent in like this. And then all of a sudden, here the tent is. Hasn't been here before. Said no tent could be set here in this city, as we would say. But all of a sudden, here's a tent. God has made a way for it. And then the tent is sitting there. And all of a sudden, we see this thing and we think, Well, nothing to it, just a tent, another revival. But folks, let me tell you something. It is true that there are preachers that go through the land. There are people that go through the land. There are revivals, as we say, that goes through the land that might not be much in the sight of God because people aren't living right and the preachers aren't living right. And soon the expose they come then shows that they're not living right. But there are people that love God, and there are ministers in the world today that loves Christ, and God still has His hand on them, and God is still moving them through the world that He might bring judgment upon those that do wickedly and bring salvation and deliverance to those that do right. So then God said, let there be light. Let there be light where? Let there be light in Alabama. Let the great light of God shine in Alabama. Let there be light in Alabama. Let there be light in the heart of those that love God, the children of light. You're not children of darkness, but children of light, in that that day is not to come upon you unawares, for you to know when it's near, even at the door. So then God said, let there be light. We don't have to worry about the energy of God. We're children of God, and we don't have to worry about it. We've got all the energy that we need. God can give us eternal energy. He gives us a source that our light never grows dim. So let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine throughout the world, not only here in Alabama, not in a local church, not somewhere with a little group of people, but let your light shine throughout the world, that it may go clear around the world, that all may hear about Christ Jesus and see this wonderful light. While we were overseas in numbers of places, we shared this wonderful light. And as we shared this light, people were so enthused. People cried and people wept before God. People received a new strength before God. As a matter of fact, just a little while over there in Africa, we were in several places in Africa like Ghana, Nigeria, and Kenya. And we just received a letter from over in Africa from one of the leading men that's over numbers of churches. And they was praising the wonderful word of God. And they said, Brother Pike, many souls was won to God while you were here. Why was that? Because of the light. The light broke forth when people begin to love the light, when you begin to love the truth and you begin to walk in the light as He is in the light, then you'll have fellowship one with another. And the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse you from all of your sin, and the light begins to spring out. Folks, we're sitting in this little tent tonight. We've got light in here. The reason is because we've tapped onto a source of energy, and that light comes down in here and in this area. We've got light. But if you step out from under this tent and get just a little off in the distance, you'll find there isn't any light. You know why there isn't any light? Because there isn't any energy out there. There's no energy out there as to having been harnessed to where it can be turned into light. Now, we know there's potential energy out there. Scientists have proved that everything is a potential energy. See, there's energy all around, but there's no preparation. It took a lot of work here. It took a lot of preparation here. It took some effort. It took a little expense here. And we harnessed the light. We set up everything to where it was in a conformity as to the energy. And now the potential energy has been turned into what we call kinetic energy. And we're enjoying the wonderful light of God. You know, it's when you do a little bit in your heart. It's when you make a little preparation in your heart. It's when you go to a little trouble as to receive Christ that this divine energy comes into your life. It is to this time that God begins to do something for you. You know, if we can't pray a little bit, if we can't fast a little bit, if we can't sacrifice a little bit, if we can't deny ourselves of the things of the world a little bit, we're never going to have this light. This wonderful light of God that's given to us, which is the energy that brings Christ alive in our bodies. What I'm saying is this: if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He shall by His Spirit quicken your mortal body, the Spirit that dwelleth within you. If you don't have the Spirit, then you're none of His. We like to believe, because we believe, everything's all right. We like to believe that if we just go up and say to the minister that we believe, that we love the Lord, that everything's all right. And a lot of preachers would have us to believe that. But folks, remember one thing, that unless you have His Spirit, you are none of His. You may talk about religion and you may say that you are a believer and you may act all kind of ways. You may get emotional. You might even prophesy. But that doesn't mean that you have God. It doesn't mean that you're born again. It doesn't mean that you're on your way to heaven. You may speak in tongues, but that still doesn't mean that you have anything. You may even be able to work a gift. There might be something in your life, even as Balaam. Balaam had a gift in his life, and he could bless or curse people when this gift was working. But the Bible said that he loved the wages of unrighteousness, and God had him killed because he had the love of the world in him. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. If the love of television shows and ball games and the things of the world and the frolics of the world and making money and all of the things of the world, if you have the love of the world in you, the love of God isn't there. It doesn't matter how much a preacher tells you that you're going to heaven, you still don't have the love of God. And if you don't have the love of God, you don't have eternal life. Folks, I'm talking about real godly living. I'm talking about Holy Ghost living. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of Christ, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm talking about walking with God and talking with God as the men of old did. Living for God, real, genuine living for God. I'm talking about a real Christianity. So then he said, let there be light, and there was light. And tonight I asked the Lord for light. I said, Lord, whoever is here that needs light, maybe you already have light, and that's good. But if you don't have light, then the man, when you have a house and you don't have the lights on, he comes out to turn your lights on if you'll pay the price. And if you'll pay the price, after that you have light. And so then I come here and I say, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't have light, then God, turn their lights on. Turn their lights on that they might be able to see, that they might be able to hear, that they might be able to know that this is the real, genuine move of God. The move of God is as to the light of God. We have energy from heaven. We've tapped onto it. We have a source, and as I said, in the side of this little tent, we have light. But if we stray from the source, then we're in the darkness. And folks, we're united one with another as to a brotherhood, and if you get out of ranks, then you don't have any light. It's only when you fellowship the brethren that you have light. For the Bible said, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another, that the blood of Jesus may cleanse you from all of your sins. But if you don't walk in the light, then you don't have the light. And the only way you walk in the light is to have fellowship one with another. There's something about it that when you got the Spirit of Christ, when you got the Spirit of God, that it's going to reach out and it's going to take hold of another brother, another sister. You're going to be linked together with them. And if you are one that pulls yourself off in the corner and you don't have any fellowship with the body of Christ, then it's positive proof that you walk in the darkness. So then let there be light. And the Bible said, and there was light, and God saw the light, that the light was good. So then the Bible said, in the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights and the depth and the width and the length of this wonderful thing that God is doing. To be able to comprehend. And the Bible said that you and I should pray that God would grant unto us the Spirit of Revelation. We need the Spirit of Revelation. You might say, I'm a Christian, Brother Pike. I belong to the church. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I'm glad to hear that. But that still doesn't mean that you have the Spirit of Revelation. Because you belong to a church, you may not know anything about Revelation. I talk to ministers that's been in the ministry for many years that don't know anything about Revelation. I talk to churches. I preach to laity. I preach to people, many, many people that don't know anything about Revelation. And the reason is because they've been a religious routinist. You know what a religious routinist is? They've been a religious routinist. They go to about every revival. They go to about every church. They don't really hold any post of duty. They're like a wandering star, and wherever there's a shout and a holler and a hoop, they go there because they want to feel the presence of God. You know, the rain comes on the wheat and on the tare. And though you might be a tare, it takes the same water of life to make you live as it does to make the wheat live. And you might be a tare wanting to get in the rain, always wanting to get in on the move of God, to feel the presence of God, but not one that will sacrifice anything as to conformity to the way of Christ, or deny yourself in any way that you might come into the revelation of the Lord. So then, what do we say? If you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you'll have fellowship one with another. And if there is a unity, then there will be light. We need a move of God here and around the world. We need people that will link together in light and that will take each other's hand for strength. This is getting to be a dark, dark day. Have you noticed as of late the many ministers that are falling? Have you noticed that? Even this man that just came to counsel with me yesterday, he's supposed to be here tomorrow night with a brother from India. He called today. He said, "Brother Pike, after all these years of talking to ministers, going everywhere," he said, "I was about to commit suicide." He said, "This thing has been such a great oppression that I wound up in a mental institution." He said, I spent a lot of money to come here. And he said, "I'd purpose in my heart that the day was as far as I could go, that I couldn't stand it any longer." He said, "And today I've received my deliverance." He said, "Today I found my way out." After all of this, he said, "I found my way out." Why is that? Because God did that for him. Like a young fellow that we've got back at the campground there. He loved the Lord. He works. He makes a good living. He's got a family. When he came there, or whenever we made contact with him at the beginning, he had lost his mind. He had lost his mind. He was completely gone. He was insane. His father had spent a lot of money, because his father and mother, they're very prominent people. And they'd spent a lot of money. They'd had all kind of psychiatric treatment, and it still didn't profit anything. It still didn't do any good. But when we begin to work with him with the Word of God and begin to talk to him about the Word of God, as to preach to him and to cast out the devils and to bind the evil forces, then the man's mind returned to him, and today he is a sane, sober man that's been there for a number of years, married, got a family, he's got a business, he's getting along very good. I remember another case where a woman had lost her mind and she was completely insane. And I took her, got my wife over here, and I began to pray and drive the devils back and begin to speak to her in the name of the Lord. And all of a sudden, she was no longer insane. She was sane and sober. Her mind returned to her. Her husband said, "I have never known this to happen to my wife in her lifetime." Somebody say amen. Amen. Why did God do that? Because there was light. God gave light. "Let there be light." Jesus said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You know, I had a young fellow that come in the last few days, and he said, "Brother Pike, I want to make a confession." He said, "I came to this 11 years ago." And he said, "It was just yesterday that my eyes came open. Just yesterday that my eyes came open." You know, people can sit under the gospel for years, and they can hear the word of God for years and be just as blind as a bat. And I said to some of the audience, I said, if this young man has been around the gospel for 11 years, been diligent, had come to the church, or been around these things, and his eyes had not come open, I said, just think now, if his eyes has not been open, how many more people are listening to the gospel that's convinced that their eyes are open and yet they're still walking in blindness? Can you say amen? There are people all over the world that are still blind. They're just as religious as this man was. Just as religious as they could be. Cain was a religious person. He was so religious that he offered up sacrifice to God, just like Abel did. But murder was in his heart. Saul was just as religious as he could be. But murder was in his heart. See, and though he had murder in his heart, yet when Saul got in the presence of the prophets, when he got in the presence of the other people that worship God, why, he prophesied so much that they thought he was among the prophets. There's people that have bitterness in their heart. They backbite, they gossip, they have the gullible desires of the world. They have the lust of the flesh, but when they get into the tent meetings, or they get into the church, or they get into where the Spirit of God is moving, they dance and they shout and they do all the things that others do, and it looks like that they've got God when it's nothing but the rain on the tare, and when they give forth a harvest, it's nothing but a briar, just an old gossiping or whatever. I remember a church one time, a little country church. It was a woman that came to it, and she was one of the most shouting women in that church. She was one of the most prominent women in that community. She was one that no matter when the preacher got up, she'd take the service, because it wasn't long before she supposedly felt the Spirit of God, and I believe that she actually did, because the rain does come on the tear. And she'd just shout her shoe heels off or her hair down from the pins or whatever, you know. But when it come to living for God around the community and checking up on her, the woman didn't live for God and she wasn't straight with God. See, but when the rain came down, she shouted the more. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, why is that? It's because they get under condemnation in such a way they feel like they'll just die. And so when they come to the house of God and they feel a little bit of the Spirit of God, they just turn loose, just like you turned on a propeller. Because they're so glad just to feel the grace of God. And folks, believe you me, God is graceful. God is graceful, God, still, in spite of all of our stumblings and staggerings, in spite of all of our wrongs, in spite of our mistreatment to God or to God's people, God is still merciful, and God still brings forth the grace, and God still pours out of His Spirit upon the tare and upon the wheat, still giving them grace and still giving them opportunity that they may have the blessings of God. But it's a horrible thing to stop and to think that these people are going to see the beauties of God and the healings of God and the deliverance of God and hear the Word of God and know all about the wonderful things of God. The Bible said even having been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasting of the Word of God and the power of the world to come, and then fall away and lose all of these wonderful things and go into the lake of fire. That's horrible. That's horrible. You know, it's bad for a man that never has, let's say it like this. You know, if you've never had a Cadillac, if you've never had a fine home, then your appetite isn't open to that. Because you've never had anything like that. If you never ate steak with a regularity, you never had that great opening as to your appetite as to the taste of it. And so you don't miss it all that much. You know, if you don't get it, you don't miss it all that much, because you don't know anything about it except what you've heard and the smell of it. And maybe you've just nibbled here and there. But folks, one time you get used to eating the best and driving the best and living in the best, and then it's taken out from under you, and you have to go back to the primitive way of life, especially according to some of those that I saw over there concerning Smoky Mountain, living out in the dump and going through the garbage to live. And you have to go back to the little place as to what was one time your home. You can't hardly bear it. Men have been known to commit suicide, take their lives because they couldn't stand it anymore. So that means it's going to be a horrible thing to be exposed to the wonderful things of God, to know all of these beautiful things as it was with Judas. It was more than he could take. When he suddenly realized that he was cut off and he couldn't get back, he went out and hang himself. And as it was with Esau, the Bible said that he sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. Just for a morsel of bread. I told somebody the other day, I was talking to him, I said, it's going to be bad in the day of judgment for you. I said, Judas sold his, Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of bread, we say. I said, Judas, he just sold out for 30 pieces of silver. I said, and someday all of us are going to stand before God, and God's going to say, come here, Judas. And Judas is going to come up there. I said, and he's going to say to you, you come over here too. I said, and you're going to stand there with him. And I said, and then when Judas has to acknowledge that for 30 pieces of silver, he'd done away with his birthright into the kingdom of God. I said, and you stand there, and when you realize that you sold out a lot less than 30 pieces of silver, I said, it's going to be more than you can take. Did you know there's a lot of people that's selling God out for a lot less? Did you know there's a lot of people in the world today, even ministers? And have you noticed that a lot of ministers are falling? A lot of ministers are falling. Great men are falling. You know, we spoke of the fall of these ministers. There's numbers of these ministers, great men, great mighty men. I mean men that have drawn tens of thousands of people, and men that have preached on TV, and men that have preached on radio, and men that have had great revivals and crusades. We spoke of them. Some of them we contacted and told them of these things and spoke of them. And I remember when I spoke of one of them in the Carolinas. We had our tent set there in the Carolinas. God has blessed us with a little three-pole tent. It's about 120 by 60. I believe that's what it is. And he's blessed us with another that's about 220, a big five-pole tent, about 140. And we was there in the three-pole tent over in the Carolinas. And we was there preaching. And I made a statement concerning a man that has been on television for a number of years. It's been an outstanding figure that has touched people's lives around the entire world. And we spoke of him right there in that meeting. God was blessing us. We had a full house and God was moving. And I spoke of him and I said, and God let me know that he's going to deal with that man, that man is going to fall. Somebody in the audience, they popped up with somebody else and said, "Why, he'll never fall." Said, "He's too great and mighty to ever fall." I said, "Well, nevertheless, just forget about it." I said, "It'll happen exactly the way we said." And all of a sudden, he fell. They found out that he'd been taking up time with a woman secretly and been supporting the woman to try to cover it up. And all of a sudden, he fell because God said he would fall. And God said he would go down. And a number of others that we could speak of here, it's the same way. We warned them and spoke of them because they could not walk in the light. They were not walking in the light. And the Bible teaches that Satan, even the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good cometh. They can't see it. But you are children of the light, not children of darkness, but ye are children of the light. And in that we are children of the light, then we walk in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Somebody say hallelujah. I could go on and on and on. I just love to talk about Jesus, but we're not going to hold you. I just want you to know that we believe there's plenty of God energy, and there's plenty of light. There's plenty of light. And that we can have a brotherly fellowship, we can have a brotherly unity, and we can be children of light. I'm so glad that I'm a child of light. As I look around, traveling as much as we do, I see so many people falling, and I see so much corruption in the church. I see people that one time was great, mighty people. And some of them still great, mighty people. And then I see some of them just crumbling and turning to corruption. And I see some of that was great, mighty people that stumble and stagger, but they still want to do right. They've just got overcome. They can't find the fellowship. They can't find the strength that they need. And so then I see these people, they're still great and mighty people, but they're stumbling. The Bible said a good man will fall seven times and still get back up. And I see these people stumble, but I see the hand of God reach out and pick them up. And I see God speak to them like he did Peter when Peter cursed, denied that he knew the Lord. God just said, "Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not." Let me tell you, folks, his righteousness had already failed. His ability had already failed. But the love of God had not failed. And he said, "Peter," he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not." Seeing that all other things has failed, he said, "Peter, do one thing. Keep trying to believe in my strength, in my mercy, in my righteousness, at least so that your faith won't fail, that you can still believe in the love of God." And said, and when you're strengthened, Peter, and when you're converted, Peter, he said, then you go convert the brethren, or you go strengthen the brethren. And folks, that's what we need to do. The Bible said, strengthen those things that remain. It's time that we strengthen what we have left. The church world doesn't have a whole lot left in this age. You know, if you've got a little bit of conformity to Christ, strengthen it and keep trying to conform. You know, if you have a little bit of faith toward God, strengthen it and keep it ablaze with the Spirit. If you have any desire toward God things, any conformity toward God things, any faith toward God, if you're studying your Bible a little bit, whatever you're doing that might be religiously right in the sight of God, strengthen that. God said, if you don't, I'll come. I'll take your candlestick. I'll move your candlestick. And then you can't have any light. So we say, let there be light, and there was light. I'm going to say this while I ask you to stand with me. There's a little story, you might have heard it. There was a man was considered to be a very devout man. A man that loved the Lord. A man that wanted to do right. But he had a family and relations as to them that he related to that didn't want to do right. And they kept telling the man that he didn't have to do this. And you know, he doesn't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do this. You know, today we're living in a modern age. And they tell you you don't have to do certain things that old time saints used to do. So they kept telling him he didn't have to do certain things. And he kept laying something aside and laying something aside. And as time went on, he'd laid quite a number of things aside that he didn't have to do anymore to be a Christian. So one night, as it was said, he had a night vision or a dream. A lot of times God speaks to us in night visions and dreams. I've had many of them in my lifetime. So he spoke to him. And in the dream or the night vision, he was walking down the road and he had a cross on his shoulder. And he was dragging the cross along, you know. Long cross, a heavy load. And as he went along, it was so heavy that he cut a little bit off because it was too heavy. And then as he went a little farther, he cut a little more off because it was still too heavy. And as the story went, he went a little farther, he cut a little more off. And then after a while, he got comfortable with the cross, and it wasn't really too heavy at all. And he was making it all right. But all about that time, he came up to a river, the River Jordan. And here, he had to get across this river. So he didn't know what to do. So finally, he decided the answer to it was he just lay his cross across there and walk over. And when he put his cross out, it would have worked fine, according to the story, had he not cut some of it off. But he had cut off just enough to where it wouldn't touch the other side. So he didn't have a bridge over the river. And you know, that's the way it is with the people today. They still think they're all right. They still feel like God's with them. Like Samson, when the locks was cut off, Samson didn't know that the strength of God had left him. He was so mighty, so powerful. He just rose up and he began to shake himself a little bit. And he thought everything was just fine. But when the enemy came, he found out that he was powerless. And folks, that's what's happening to the world today. That's what happened to that preacher that came to me yesterday. He said, I've been mightily used of God as to the words he expressed to me. Mightily. But the thing is, all of a sudden, he shook himself. He'd been playing around with Delilah. You get out into the world and the first news you know, you don't have strength anymore. And he suddenly realized he didn't have his strength anymore. He wasn't mighty anymore. And Satan had bound him and he was losing his mind. The spider will weave the web. And it looks beautiful in the early morning when the dew drops upon the web. It just glitters. It's so enticing. And the little fly goes after it. And the first news you know, the little fly gets bound. It gets one foot into it. And all of a sudden, it seems like it's just a joyous thing just to bounce up and down on that web. But the first news you know, the other foot is stuck. And then the little wings get stuck. And then the first thing you know, the energy of the little fly has gone. And then there it is. It begins to settle down. And then the grim reaper begins to come for the kill. The spider begins to move out then because it's got its prey. And many a person has played around in the world until they've got bound into these circumstances of life. And circumstantial environment has swallowed them up, and they're bound. They would like to get out of it, but they can't. They underestimated the powers of Lucifer, and the demon powers have come around and bound them, and now Satan is closing in for the kill. It might be cancer, it might be insanity, it might be a wreck on the highway, it might be poverty to bring you down to an early death is to shorten your days by your disobedience and have grief all the days of your life. It might be the death of something dear and precious to you. Whatever it might be, Satan is closing in for the kill. And folks, the sad thing about this is it's not just an individual concern anymore. Even though it's an individual concern, it's between you and God. Yet it is not an individual concern in that this is becoming nationally and internationally or around the world. People are getting in this kind of condition. So tonight we won't escape that. By the energy of God, let the weak say that I'm strong, to be strong in the power of His might. By faith, Peter, that your faith fail not. I prayed for you. Mm-hmm. Can we sing this little chorus, I love Him? Can we? I love Him. Can you sing it with me? I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing it like this now. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word Divine. For every promise in the book. Sing it again. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in God's Word Divine. For every promise in the book, it is, sing it one more time with me. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word Divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. It says He was there all the time. Can we get the right key for that? And He was there all the time. And He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Can you sing it with me? All the time. Sing it again. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Can you sing it just one more time? Jesus was there all the time. He was there. Waiting patiently In line he was there all the time. We're going to sing another little chorus. And while we're singing this, if you need God, or if you need strength from God, or if you'd like to have our prayers, then we want you to just kind of step out of here and let us pray with you. You love Him? Let's sing that verse one more time. And He was there all the time. Would you like to come up here? He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Sing it again. Let's everybody come to the altar. Could you do that tonight? Sometimes we do this in our meetings. All of them comes to the altar. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Don't you just love Jesus? Sing it again with me. Jesus was there all the time. Jesus was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Can you close your eyes and lift your hands with me? Can you close your eyes and lift your hands with me? He was there. God wants to do something for you. God loves you. God cares for you. God's merciful. God loves you. The reason that Satan was fighting the sister like he was, you know why he was doing that? Because God has His hand on her, and God has something special for her, and Satan wanted to keep her away from it, so he was warring against her in her spirit. I want you to sing it one more time with me. He was there.